Blog Talk Radio.
Well, greetings, everyone. This is David Fournier from the 19th Hole Disc Golf Podcast saying, hey, thanks so much for joining us either live or on archive. So we're about midway through the disc golf season. We've got probably a good 5 or 6 interviews coming up soon. I'm excited about it. Some returning guests. I always appreciate them coming on the show. And, of course, some people that are still brand new to the show and coming on. We're excited either way. Glad to have you guys on. And just keep us in mind. Now, we're going to be talking just – this is a short show here. We just want to talk about the mid-season point. We're there five tournaments in with 3 first-place finishes, 2 second-place finishes, and my first B-tier event win, the Whitefield Open, here in Colorado Springs. I'm excited about how things are going. You know, I've said this before, and I want you to really just kind of take this to heart when I say it. It's kind of a weird thing to hear from somebody, but the entire mental game series, this whole setting goals and talking about the mental game part of disc golf is really it's just me talking to myself. And I'm glad that you're around to listen because it makes me feel better. But at the end of the day, it's really about the frustrations and the joys and the victories and the pitfalls of playing disc golf and trying to get better at what I do. And be a better disc golf player and a better advocate for the sport all at the same time. Sometimes I do a great job with it. Sometimes I don't. So what you hear me talk about here is really just the stuff that I'm thinking about, things that I'm battling in my mind and out there on the course and just saying them out loud. And hopefully there'll be something here that's worked for you. I've gotten some really great comments, by the way. Thank you so much for those of you who've emailed back and said, oh, man, I appreciated this, or thanks for bringing this up. Sometimes it's just comforting to know that you're not the only person who's made yourself crazy about throwing plastic in the park. Now, starting out in 2021, I had 2 goals, and both are still a work in process. These were goals that I wanted to achieve during the season of 2021, and I felt like it came along good. I felt like I got some of it done, but I don't think I'm done. I think there's some more work to be worked out. Goal number one is I wanted to know what the greatest weakness in my game was. Was it my consistency, driving, putting? The disc that I was using, the way I was looking at the shots on the course, it turns out it was all those. No, just kidding. I'll get back to that in a minute. I wanted to know what my greatest single weakness was in my game. And secondly, I wanted to foster and engage some impactful relationships in the disc golf community. I wanted to get to know some people that were out there, either as players, tournament directors, just all the different kinds of people that you can run into out on the course. I wanted to meet more people and kind of see what's the atmosphere look like out there. What's the pulse of it? And boy, that's been the greatest part of what's been accomplished. So let me get back to the first thing I said. The greatest weakness that I found, the single greatest weakness in my game, was my mental aspect. If things were going good, I was good. If things were going bad, I was struggling with it. And I was carrying bad shot selections and bad outcomes from one pole to the next hole to the next hole. It seemed like it never stopped. And in that kind of frame, I realized that the good news is if it's something like the mental game, if it's something about how I'm approaching and seeing things, then it's definitely something I can work with. I want to tell you, I want you to remember that you heard this here from me. I fully believe this with everything I got. There is no such thing as failure. There's no such thing as failure. There's just results you don't want. And the reason why that is so significant when we think about it is that when somebody says I failed at something or I'm a failure or the many different things, ways you could phrase that, it's like the terminal ending of it. It says, okay, well, that part's over. I failed. It's over. But in reality in life, it's never really over. We're going to go play again. We're going to go get up the next morning. We're going to continue moving forward with our game and our fun and our family and our practice. So it's never really quite over, but it's very fatal-like to say I failed. Again, there's no such thing as failure. There's just results that I don't like or don't want. And what's powerful about that is when I frame it like that, it means, well, these are the results I don't want. I'm still capable or in a position where I can go get the results that I do want. Now, these 2 goals, developing, figuring out what was the greatest single weakness of my game, which was my mental game, my approach to it, and secondly, was fostering and engaging these impactful relationships inside the disc golf community. These 2 goals grew on me and made me a better player. What was interesting is my scores didn't skyrocket. My rating definitely hasn't skyrocketed. But what it did was it gave me the ability to stay competitive all the time on the course. And doing what it takes, playing at a level that it takes to win the division that I play in. I play in, by the way, I play in MA60. MA60, and that's just as old exactly as it sounds. So I want to look at three things that we can narrow down when we talk about setting goals and looking at some things in our disc golf game and our lives that we want to work on, that we want to improve. I want to look at these things from the standpoint of what are they? What are good goals? What are ways to do this? What exactly are they? So I want to give you three of them. Three things I want you to remember about it. Number one is goals are a pathway or direction that's fueled by belief. Let me say that again. Goals are a pathway or direction, a process, a strategy, whatever word fits for you there, fueled by belief. I want to tell you I've learned something over the last couple of years, and this applies in disc golf, it applies in my life, it applies in a lot of things, and it comes in at, man, if you meet somebody and you say, oh, I want to go do this, and that person says, that will never happen, that person is absolutely correct. Everything in your life that has meaning, and every meaning in your life, you're the person that establishes its meaning. That was a great experience. That was a good experience. That was an average experience. That was a horrible experience. Whatever it may be, you're the person that assigns the meaning to every event, to every phone call, to every thing you face, to the high times, the low times. You're the person that assigns a meaning to that so that you look back on it later and say, oh, that was blank. And it's definitely about being fueled by your belief. If you believe something's not going to happen, you're absolutely correct. Now, when I talk about setting goals and beliefs, those things come up. First thing people say, well, what about, you know, you say, oh, I'm gonna land on the moon in 6 months when there's nothing. That's not really a goal. It's an idea, but it's not really a goal. I'm talking about things that are well within the reach of what you want to accomplish in your life, the things that you're practicing, where you're heading as a person. I find that a lot of people just set what I call Cinderella goals. They're called Cinderella goals. Here's how they get their name. Remember the story of Cinderella. She goes into the bear's house, and the first porridge was too hot. And the second porridge, that was too cold. But the third one was just right, and she ate all of it. That's a Cinderella goal, something that's just right. By the way, it is not bad, ever going to be bad, to set reasonable and immediately achievable goals in your life just to get the motor running, just to get the progress. That's not wrong, but you can't live like that. But goals are the pathway or the direction fueled by your belief. You know what? A lot of you have goals. You don't even know you have goals. You say, well, my life's not going great. Then that's the goal. Every time I think about myself, I see myself as a failure. If that's the pathway and the direction of your life, that's the goal, to see yourself as a failure. When you talk about it, the pathways and directions of your life, the things that you're doing with your life, make the decisions, do what needs to be done. Those are eventually the goals, whether you've taken the time to write them down, say, oh, this is the goal of my life. I hear people say all the time, I never saw myself at this point of my life like this, whatever this may be, fill in the blank. I never saw myself at this point in my life like this. Well, what did you see? What did we see? What was it we did think about or we did allow to happen? Goals, number one, are the pathway and the direction fueled by your belief. Goals, number two, goals are micro actions that prove out your belief. They're the micro actions. They're the things that you do day to day in every day that you do to move you closer to that goal. For example, let's say you want to go to Ireland, and maybe financially that's not in the cards for you right now. Fair enough. Would be in the cards for a lot of people. I get it. But when you think about it, what could I be doing? Well, I could find people who have been to Ireland and talk to them. I could Google Ireland. That's mind-blowing, a useful Google search. There's many things that I could do that would begin to educate me, lead me, but it would, again, it's micro actions. It's the little things you do that prove out the pathway and the direction of your belief that are truly your goals, whether you set goals or not. And micro-actions are exactly that. They prove out the belief. It's one thing to sit around thinking about something. It's another thing when you start taking the steps towards it. And don't shoot yourself down for taking really small steps. Take the available steps, the ones that are right in front of you, the ones that you can accomplish, and celebrate those. But goals are micro-actions that prove out your belief. Say, Dave, you know what? I've tried a lot of things. I've tried dieting. I've tried to become a better disc golf player. I tried this, and this. And it always fails. Remember, we said there's no F word. No such thing as failure. There's just results that we don't want. Well, let's talk about that. What happened? Now, there could be 1,000 circumstances that led to what happened. I got a story for you at the end of all this. There could be 1,000 circumstances that led to all that. But at the end of it, it's only the people that lose belief that quit. They give up on their goals. It's only the people that lose belief that quit or give up on their goals. Goals are the pathway in the direction they're fueled by belief, and goals have their micro actions, things I do day to day to prove out my belief. But when do goals stop? When people stop believing. When they stop trying, when they stop reaching. Last month I played in I don't even remember. Isn't that terrible? I played in the Whitefield Open, and it was my first B-tier, 2 days events. It was beautiful. It was cool, beautiful weather, a little windy. First day, really struggled, and stupid struggling. Took a six on a hole that should be four on the worst day of your life. I managed to find a way to take a six, kept plowing along, made my way through. When I got to hole 13, I started thinking to myself, I got to clean this up, man. At 13 through 18 at Whitefield is when there's a couple shots that are hittable, but it's some work. There's two of the longer holes on the course are 16 and 18. So I just kind of settled down, really thought it through, thought about what to do, calm, cool, and went out and parred 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. Came out on 18, and like I said, not a very good round, a plus seven. Had that one, I don't know what that is, a quadruple, triple bogey. I don't know what it was. And we go in there, we start pressing the, push the scores through and find out I'm tied for first. Guy on another card had the same score I did. I was like, wow. It's interesting that in my mind, I had just played horribly. I'm at the bottom of the bottom. I should execute myself. On my way home, I'll just throw my bag out my window and donate it to anybody who picks up the disc. And within a minute or two, it's like, wow, I'm still in this. Wow, I'm still in. They say that knowledge is power. I don't believe that. Knowledge is potential power. It depends what you do with the knowledge, whether or not it becomes powerful or not. So I went home that night thinking to myself, okay, you know what? You had a really rough round, and you didn't play very well. What's the goal tomorrow? The goal tomorrow is to clean it up, to clean up the rounds, and really think about how you played. So came back out. Now it's Sunday. The guy that I'm tied with, nice guy, Kirk Cullaby, I think was his name. Nice man. He's on the card with me. All five of us, I thought that was cool, five MA60s all on the same card together. And here's the kicker. I was the youngest guy on the card. That never, ever happens. But anyway, I'm the youngest guy on the card. I just want to bring that up again in case you missed it. And we're on this thing, and we start playing. And we get to about hole number three, and I make up a stroke there. Hole number two, make up a stroke there. Hole three, had a birdie opportunity, missed it. Hole four, the one that I took the six on the day before, had a birdie opportunity, missed it, but now I'm shooting three. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, that's three better than I was yesterday. Let's roll. And kept moving and moving. And by the time we got finished hole nine, on the front nine, I built up a five-stroke lead going into hole 10. And I started thinking, okay, settle in. Settle it down. Remember your goal, to play better. Now, it's always easy to do the easy things when everything's going easy. We get to hole number 11, double bogey, took a five, missed a mando, threw short to make sure I didn't miss the mando again, came up short on a putt back, wound up with a five. And instantly that five-stroke lead was now three. So what do you do? You go to hole 12. Battle through hole 12. And guess what? He takes a 4 and I take a 5 on hole 12. Hole 12 is one of those Hail Mary shots at Whitefield. You just throw it down there and you're just hitting trees and kicking off like a pinball game. You just hope you get a good lie. On my third shot, which would have put me down there on 4, again, a really bad out-of-hand shot, left me long. I hit the basket for a long 50-footer but didn't stick. Fortunately, didn't get a 6-mile roll away. And now that 5-stroke is now down, it's down to 3. We get there to hole 13, and I think to myself, I'm standing on 13 thinking about what I thought about yesterday, the day before. It's time to really dig in and play it. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18, par all the way through. And then the gentleman behind me lost a stroke here, lost a stroke there. By the time we got to 18 and closed it out, the lead was now back into 6. Win it, feel really good about winning it. But the thing that I felt best about, again, plus 7 first day, plus 5 the second day, plus 12 on the 2 days. I don't even think there's a rating low enough. I think the PDGA is going to send me a sympathy card. But the event was won. How was it won? What was the part of it? Because my belief in my goal of playing better Sunday than I played on Saturday stayed alive even through the challenges. I kept up the micro-actions, talking to myself, looking at the shots that I had, playing the shot smart. It all pays off. When you have the ability to set that goal and you keep those 3 things in mind. Now, let me ask you that. I ask myself this question a lot. Maybe you do from time to time. I'm not completely sure. But let me ask you a question. Do you ever think to yourself, why am I doing this? Why am I? I could just play disc golf by myself. And if I thoroughly suck, no one will know. Or I could just get with a group of buddies of mine and we could all suck and no one will know. And we'll think we're great. Even though maybe we actually suck, why would you do this? Because I want to tell you what this is about for me. I want you to remember, this is so important, I want you to remember that the highlight reel of your life, the things that you've done, getting married, having an incredibly wonderful wife, children, employment, whatever it is that you've done well, help somebody in a great time of need, just being a kind, whatever it is, the highlight of your reel, the highlight of your disc golf career, the highlight reel of your life can never be taken away from you. It doesn't matter if tomorrow I suffer an injury, never allow me to play disc golf again. I don't know exactly what that injury would be, but even if you suffer a career-ending injury, I still have the highlight reel of my life. And at 60 years old, I believe that I'm not done with the highlights yet, that there's still more highlights to come. I believe that you're not done with the highlights of your life, that there's still more to come. And the fact of the matter is that we're more inspired by our highlights than we are deterred by our defeats. So we're going to get up every day, and we're going to keep walking, and keep pushing and keep trying and keep throwing and keep practicing and keep building to see what we can do to increase the highlight reel of our life. My name is David Fournier. Thank you for joining me here on the 19th Hole Disc Golf Podcast. Next week, we're going to get busy with some interviews over the next couple of weeks, Team Disc Forum members, some top shelf team members, and some folks brand new to the program. And I'm excited to be doing it. Once again, whether you're listening live or on archive, thanks for hanging out with me.